You're in the CMO suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello. Welcome to the CMO suite. I'm your host, Sean Halter. We are super excited today. Joanne Harold, I apologize. I know we've been trying to catch you for a little while now. We missed you the first time. You missed us the second time. Whatever it was, you're here with us today.
Sounds great. Excited to be here.
Well, thank you again. And again, sorry for asking you to jump through a few hoops to get us here today, but we appreciate it. And we are super excited to have you on with us today. We've built out a special episode just for you in some ways. It's our Thanksgiving episode. We've got you in on the episode along with No Kid Hungry, and we were excited to kind of put those two parts and pieces together. So welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Your background, I thought one of the most interesting things to me as I looked into it a little bit more is the fact that your current position is obviously CMO for Honey Baked Ham, correct?
Correct, yes.
And that was a position you had before, a few years ago. And I don't know that I've seen that a lot. So talk to us about your first run when you came to Honey Baked Ham, how you ended up there in the first place, and about how your journey was at the time.
Well, how I started at Honey Baked, I actually started my career at McDonald's, where I was a star. And what that meant was I was a store area representative and gave the birthday parties at McDonald's and wore the Hamburglar costume and really fell in love with the food industry and hospitality and big brands. And later got my degree in PR and communications and worked for Captain D's and Shoney's for many years. And a recruiter really liked Captain D's and was looking for somebody to head marketing at Honey Baked Ham. And I got the opportunity to work for Honey Baked Ham and worked for them for 16 years. And
amazing.
Loved the brand, loved the company. I did end up leaving for 8 years. I went to work at Arby's Restaurant Group and got to lead brand marketing, and then was recruited from Arby's to go work for Interface. And Interface is a global flooring manufacturer that's headquartered here. And
well, don't jump around so fast. Listen just to that journey alone. You were there for 18 years. That's unbelievable, right? For somebody to stay somewhere.
Years and loved it, loved the brand, loved the people, loved the culture,
yeah.
Loved the product.
What change do you feel like in that's, I mean, again, not to make you look backwards, but what do you feel like changed in those 16 years? You must have just felt in some days, like every day you're kind of piecing it up. And since you were there for so long, you probably got to see them just really evolve. But some days must have felt fast too. Like looking back, it must feel like I can't believe I was there for 16 years.
That's true. Well, a lot of things have changed with the company. The digital transformation has happened in the 8 years I was gone.
Yeah.
The company is now a national company.
Sure.
And is growing, and we're transforming the brand in every way, from product innovation to our new logo, and really trying all types of digital marketing and advertising tactics to continue to grow the brand for another 60 years.
Yeah. So you went from there, you said you moved from there and you went to Arby's for a little while. So different space, certainly to some extent. And what do you feel like, what brought you there at the time? Was it just a new challenge, something different in the market, a chance to kind of jump into that QSR space a little bit?
It was. Arby's was going through a turnaround, and I knew the president really well and wanted to try something different, and loved being a part of the Arby's brand and transforming that brand. It was a really fun space, in a lot of ways similar to Honey Baked, very iconic, beloved, but really going through a refresh and a turnaround and a transformation. So wanted to experience that with Arby's.
Yeah. And so you stayed there for a little while, and then you moved on kind of outside of the space for a little bit, and then you came home, right?
Correct. And it's funny, I was gone for 8 years, and literally 8 years to the day that I left is the day that I came back to Honey Baked. So it was very serendipitous, and again, a brand I love so much. So very happy to be back at Honeybait.
And so it must have felt, again, obviously a unique situation in some ways. There must have been some people that were still there from the time that you're there, and obviously a lot of new faces there as well. And to your point, the industry, gosh, talk about a change really within the last not only 8 years, but certainly even just the last 5 years, the whole industry has been kind of turned on its head to some extent. Digital certainly has become part of the vernacular of every marketing plan to some extent, and CMOs are being challenged more and more and more to understand that entire kind of full funnel of the process. So as you were able to look back on what you had kind of done when you left, what felt fresh to some extent and what felt new, and talk to me about where it sounds like you guys are kind of digging into to rebuilding the brand to some extent, or just continuing to evolve it as a global brand.
Well, what is very fresh again is the digital space and being able to market to consumers directly and putting something out there digitally and seeing consumers respond immediately is very fresh. We have a lot of new faces at Honeybaked, and then it's a family-owned company. The CEO of Honeybaked actually recruited a lot of the folks who were on the leadership team when I was there.
Great.
8 years ago, and so we're in a lot of ways we're saying we're pulling back the band.
Sure.
And poising the company for a lot of growth in the future.
Now, you talked a lot about digital, but at the same time, what are the other areas that you feel like you guys are continuing to spend time in the space? Is traditional TV still a part of the mix?
Yeah, it is. And Honeybaked is such a visual product. It's such a emotional product. And so when I came back, we launched our first television campaign in over 10 years. And that was driven mostly by our franchisees who really wanted us to get out and tell the Honeybaked story. So the franchisees rallied around us running a television campaign, helped put money into the campaign,
Yeah. And
it really was a movement. And so we worked in a very short time to hire a new agency, and we hired BBDO Atlanta, and they helped us put together a wonderful campaign, and we were able to fund not only the campaign, but the media behind it, and the activation behind it, and really saw tremendous results around that.
And so you talked about franchise, if we can spend a few minutes on that, because it's such an interesting dynamic when you enter into the marketing industry. It certainly is, as the conversation continues to wrap around digital, digital, digital. In some cases, you probably have owners within the franchisee groups who have an understanding of how consumers are spending the time, and others who still are kind of trying to figure it out to some extent, and then probably even more that are saying, how are we making sure that every dollar that we have out there is being tracked and counted and producing? How have you been able to kind of tell that story to some extent, or how has that maybe shaped, you know, your own marketing plans as you're trying to not only be innovative, but also maybe help people who aren't living in that space every single day?
Well, we work very closely with our franchise partners, and we have, again, tremendous franchisees who really trust the marketing team to help guide the decision making. And we've worked with our franchise partners to say, let us execute some of our tried and true programs,
yeah,
which are, radio and print, but also give us the space to test new tactics and new programs. And, we'll track it. And if it works, then we'll recommend that we expand it and spend more of our budget in those areas. And if it doesn't work, we've learned and we've moved on. So our franchisees are very much partners and are in it with us, so that we can grow and learn and continue to grow their business.
And so as you're doing that, Joanne, what are some of those areas that you feel like you have seen that have been a really interesting, you've gone down the rabbit hole a little bit. It was something that maybe you tried and you feel like, oh, we got an interesting takeaway from that, whether that was we didn't expect this kind of a result, or let's look at this kind of technique a little bit more and see how we can bring that to individual markets. What are some of the areas that you feel like you're really trying to spend more of your time in, not only this holiday season, but as you come into next?
Well, we're trying to use our all our tactics to tell the Honeybake story and get consumers into the top of the funnel and consider Honeybake, to remember Honeybake for their occasions, all the way through to, you know, television, radio, direct mail. We use social, digital in a big way, and really are starting to leverage that. So we're working on all, again, the tactics that we have and all our touch points to drive the transaction with the consumer and for them to consider Honeybake.
So a good point, and a reminder again that that digital is important, but the strategy still has to involve the brand, right? And there's still plenty of traditional tactics that are out there that that can drive eyeballs and consideration. So if you don't mind, if we pivot for just a second and talk a little bit about the brand itself, and it is Thanksgiving season, and so there is certainly a seasonality to it, and I would imagine this is a pretty important time for you guys. At the same time, maybe talk about that seasonality, because one of the things I feel like you just hit on there a little bit is the fact that ham and honey-baked ham doesn't have to be just a seasonal product. Certainly ham is amazing to have at any time of the year. And so how do you continue to keep that message out there and alive consistently with consumers throughout the entire part of the year and throughout the whole country?
We have a 365-day-a-week plan, and there are so many reasons that people gather. And we're trying to get in front of consumers when they have a gathering, and that could be Friendsgiving, it could be Valentine's Day, it could be Super Bowl, it could be watching a game on a Sunday, tailgating, it could be Thanksgiving, it could be Christmas, it could be a birthday. And so we're trying to speak to our consumers when they are gathering and reminding them and that Honeybake is a wonderful spot to go to, and it really elevates the occasion when Honeybake is at the gathering. We are there for consumers' most important occasions, and so when consumers think about us, they love the product and really appreciate what Honeybake brings.
Yeah, and it definitely, again, I feel like you guys have done a pretty amazing job of kind of bringing that feeling of fun and family, and that's probably hard in some ways in the food category. There aren't many brands that are an essence of food that have done that kind of an amazing job of just even saying the name makes you feel like family, and that's certainly important this time of year. As we start to wrap the episode again, I want to personally thank you again so much for joining me on here. I know, again, I'm sorry if we tracked you down to try to ensure that you would jump on and be a guest with us for this episode. But as we wrap, I've got one more question for you, if you don't mind, which is just, what is it that you feel like you're looking forward to the most next year, as you start to kind of really get back into the brand and really be able to kind of continue to put your stamp on it with all of you know, your amazing team? What's the thing you feel like, boy, next year I hope that I can really dig into this specific tactic or this kind of strategy and just continue to learn you know, about what's happening out in the marketplace?
Well, I'm super excited. We have done a tremendous amount of brand refreshing. We have a new logo and a new brand identity system. So that'll start to hit this holiday. So I'm excited for that to get out into the marketplace. We're also innovating on new products, so I'm excited to see those go into the marketplace. And also doing a lot of work to renovate our stores and have a very contemporary, fresh, fun, new look for Honeybaked Ham. So very excited about that for the next year or so to come.
Well, we're excited to see what the new retail ends up looking like. Again, I'm sure that it will follow with all of the other refreshing, in essence, that you've done and continue to evolve and grow the brand. Once again, Joanne Harold, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the CMO Suite. If you want to find out more about Joanne Harold, you can go to thecmosuite.com and click on her photo. And you can always do what I've done, which is stalk her on LinkedIn from time to time. She puts out some amazing posts about her journey back to the brand. And once again, we appreciate you joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings. You're in the CMO suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Sean Halter, and we have a very special episode of the CMO Suite today. It is all about Thanksgiving, and with us right now is Clay Dunn, Senior VP of No Kid Hungry. How are you, Clay?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in. We truly appreciate it. Talk to us a little bit, since we are in the season. Talk to us a little bit about the organization itself, and then if you don't mind, I'd love to go back into the history of how you got involved with them and how you got into marketing.
Absolutely. So I work for an organization called Share Our Strength, and we run the No Kid Hungry campaign to end childhood hunger in America. Our organization is more than 30 years old, but over the last decade, we've really narrowed our focus on this issue that we say is big enough to matter and small enough to win, and that's ending childhood hunger in our country. One in six kids in our country lives with hunger, but you know and I know that we have plenty of food to feed those kids. We even have the food programs in place. What we're about is making sure that the programs that are designed to feed kids are doing so in places that they know and that they trust, so that kids don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from and instead can just worry about the business of being a kid.
Yeah, and before you ended up there, because I want to come back to that for just a second, but I wanted to get a good overview kind of the organization itself and kind of what it stands for. We are contributing for every guest that we have on the CMO Suite. We're contributing money to No Kid Hungry. We have several of our clients that also participate in it. And again, you've been there in a senior VP role, I believe, for quite a while, right? Almost going on 8 or 9 years. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm approaching 9 years.
That's crazy. You're not far away. You'll be there a full decade. But prior to that, you were with a couple of different companies, including National Geographic.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is my first role at a nonprofit. Before this, I was in marketing, most recently at National Geographic, where I led part of the consumer marketing for their television properties, their two U.S. cable channels, Nat Geo and Nat Geo Wild. I was a digital specialist there and was really focused on how we can use emerging digital properties to get our core viewers to tune in to shows and to market big specials that we were doing. And then before that, I actually worked in a consulting firm where I specialized in building digital marketing campaigns for major movie studios. So for a few years, any movie that Disney or Sony or other studios put out, I was one of the people who was helping to figure out how to use the power of the internet to get people excited about big movie releases. So very different from what I'm doing now, but very fun.
Yeah, but think about that. It's so funny. Again, obviously, I have no idea how old you are. I'm sure you're 25 or 26, Clay. But it's amazing to think of the fact that you had those titles not that long ago, but at a time when people were like, oh, digital manager, what's that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, when I started in the digital sort of marketing space, you know, so many brands that we would go in and talk to were like had very low awareness of what was happening on the internet, how consumers were connecting in new ways. And so, you know, and at the time I was doing things like, you know, building MySpace campaigns to get tweens excited about
just so people know what MySpace is. It was a precursor to Facebook. Lest you not know, right?
Indeed.
And so again, not to make you go back too far in history, and I want to make sure we spend some time talking about No Kid Hungry. And then coming up a little bit later on the show, we've got an additional guest in the space, the CMO for Honey Baked Ham, and we're excited to have her as our back-to-back guest on this 30-minute episode of the show. But your time at Nat Geo, you know, I feel like that was one of those brands that was really a precursor to the industry. It seems like, you know, they were delving in that digital space, to your point, before it was really even kind of a thing. So how was that? How was the department built, and how did you guys kind of evolve in understanding really where consumers were spending their time and how to spend your time to find them?
Yeah, you know, the time that I spent at National Geographic was a really interesting time for the organization, because, you know, everyone is familiar with the magazine, but, you know, just as with the rest of the publishing world, the revenues from the magazine were no longer there like they once were. And, you know, being that I was working in television, it was really an intentional choice by the National Geographic Society to branch out into new platforms and engaging viewers and content in very different ways than they had traditionally, especially in the cable television space, which ended up being, for National Geographic, a very good business move. The sort of growing interest in, you know, all kinds of television programming, but especially National Geographic's ability to bring you a different lens to the world and to start to see things in a different way.
Well, they have such an iconic brand, right? So you were able
to
be able to...
brand that people love, and then seeing that brand translated against different platforms. I mean, when I was at National Geographic Channel, I started them on social media, for instance. Like, I mean, this was quite a while ago now. And
funny to think of, like, you know, oh, we need a Facebook page? What's that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, but, you know, it just caught like fire because people are so passionate about that brand and what the brand is able to show them about the world. And it was really exciting to be a part of that.
And so even think of, geez, if you had Instagram back then, right? National Geographic is so well known for just being so iconic from a visual, you know, standpoint.
Absolutely.
As well. So
I think today they're one of the top brands on Instagram.
Yeah, not surprising. I'm sure all based on the work that you did, Clay, all those bricks you you built initially,
hardly,
right?
Hardly.
So then you were there for a little while. Did you live in LA when you had that job, or where were you living?
Actually,
at the time?
I was at the National Geographic headquarters here in Washington, D.C.
Okay, great. So you were living in D.C. Yeah. You'd spent some time there. You cut your chops in the digital space before that was even really a title that, you know, that now everybody kind of has some digital something in their title to some extent. So then what brought you from there to No Kid, either to No Kid Hungry or obviously the ownership organization?
Yeah, no, for sure. I was really interested in food and food issues when I was working at National Geographic. I started reading tons of books by, you know, authors like Michael Pollan, who were talking about you know, the state of our food systems and, you know, where we are heading as a country. And so the issue was just a personal one for me and something that I followed closely. And I was actually writing a food website at the time.
A 10-year-ago blogger.
And because of that, I got invited to a fundraiser for the parent organization that I work for now. That was one of these tasting-style events that they were doing in Washington, D.C. And I had not heard of the organization before. I went to the event and, you know, had a good time. Like, it was a cool event, great chef.
Sure.
I learned a little bit about the cause. Went to the event. That's how the organization got on my radar. I was working in TV, but was really starting to feel that I didn't want another job in TV. Like,
okay.
I just wasn't sure if I felt passionate enough about the industry, and I saw a job posting for the Share Our Strength, that's the parent organization that I work for now, where they were hiring a group of people to come and put together what they had envisioned as a No Kid Hungry campaign. So they had this idea, we're going to launch this campaign to end childhood hunger in America, and we need experts who can come and build it with us because we don't know. We don't have experts.
And so Share Our Strength it's basically the ownership group. And is No Kid Hungry an extension from that? They also have other causes that they build, in essence, campaigns around?
They have two different campaigns today.
Gotcha.
One is called No Kid Hungry, and another is called Cooking Matters, that teaches families to shop and cook healthy.
Great. So both, in essence, related in some ways, and cause marketing certainly to some extent, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the organization had, you know, a long history in cause marketing and working with brands in interesting ways to raise funds to end hunger. The Charge Against Hunger campaign from American Express was a really iconic cause marketing campaign many years ago that benefited Share Our Strength as an organization. And so they had decided to launch the No Kid Hungry campaign, and they were hiring for someone to come in and lead digital. And it was really just one of those moments that I read the job posting, and I thought that it was just the perfect combination.
Yeah.
Professional expertise and my personal interests.
Something that you were able to find a job that, you know, that you have a passion for, and that seems to be so hard these days in some ways to balance, right? You want to be able to
Absolutely.
To have something that you love, something that you care
100%.
About, something you can 100%. Still get paid to do, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, thankfully, I came in, they liked me, I loved them.
Yeah.
And
sometimes it just fits.
Just, really the right fit, and that was nearly 9 years ago.
And so as you look now back a little bit or self-reflect in some ways on those last 9 years and you start to look ahead at the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, what do you feel like are some of the challenges that you guys are facing? Or, you know, cause marketing seems like it's prevalent certainly out there. There's a lot of organizations that, you know, continue to try to wrap their head around as this becomes more and more a consumer-based marketing strategy for brands. They have to figure out how to touch people in different ways and how to stop selling to them, right, and start helping to solve and solve their problems and make their lives better. What are some of the challenges you feel like is facing the industry?
Yeah, well, I feel like specifically for, you know, my role over time, and as I look at, you know, where we've been and then where I expect us to be over the next decade, you know, in the last 9 years, we've taken No Kid Hungry from like zero
awareness
because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
We've seen a huge growth in the number of consumers who recognize and say they support the campaign. And that's really exciting to see. That, however, has been done in a really, you know, scrappy approach. Like, you know, I'm a nonprofit. It's not like I have a big marketing budget.
Sure.
Very often I'm leveraging the assets of our partners who are maybe cause marketing partners, but who are maybe other kinds of promotional partners to really build awareness of No Kid Hungry in new ways. Like a great example of that is that we've been very fortunate to be the charity partner of the Food Network for the past 9 years. And, you know, the Food Network, I think, more than any other partner, has really helped us engage consumers in a new way by deploying their talent on air to talk about the issue, by doing fundraising campaigns at the holidays, by appearing with us, you know, out on Capitol Hill and in state houses across the country. And, you know, that's been a big this issue of how I continue to grow the No Kid Hungry brand while, you know, still using fairly conservative resources.
Sure.
Is a big challenge. And then I think on the cause marketing side that, you know, we see so many brands and brands that we're working with, we're always trying new things to engage consumers in different ways. And because we want the cause marketing that we're doing with our partners to feel fresh and to feel relevant to them,
and it almost has to these days, right? You just have you can't just set it and forget it, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, we really want the brand's consumer to feel that the company is supporting No Kid Hungry from a very authentic standpoint. Because I mean, I work with our partners all the time, all across the country. I know that they care passionately about
sure.
the cause, and we want that to come through in the marketing that we do together.
And there's probably also something to be said for the simplicity in some ways of the brand, right? So everybody spends so much time trying to figure out, again, how to get their brand in front of consumers, how to make sure that a consumer can understand what their brand does or where it brings value. You know, when you boil it down to No Kid Hungry, those three words immediately create an impactful message.
Absolutely.
And that obviously, again, probably continues to help just elevate either your brand awareness or your opportunities with those little pockets. You know, you had said you're kind of relying upon your other partners sometimes to take a little moment of their media that's out there, take a little piece of something that's out there and try to wedge that in there a little bit to try to ensure that you guys are getting some coverage in the market. And so being able to, again, in just some ways, boil it down to not that those three words say everything about it, but it's easy to be able to look at that and just understand, you know, where your strengths are, what it is that you guys are doing.
Yeah, 100%.
With that, with this last, 20 seconds, what do you feel like is the most important thing for people to look at as they're trying to figure out their own passion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people really need to think about what's going to make them excited every day to get up and face the world. I mean, we all have so many things going on. We're competing for people's hearts and minds constantly. And I think if you can find that thing that when you wake up that you're so excited to go and do it, that you really need to follow that thing and really grab it.
Follow your dream. Good point, and great way to end this episode of the CMO Suite. Once again, we want to thank Clay Dunn, Senior Vice President and Chief Communications Officer at Share Our Strength. Thank you for all you've done for No Kid Hungry, and thanks for joining us on the call today.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Clay.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.